Good day, Petersburg. This is Crab Bait Radio, a local special covering all the news you won't hear anywhere else. Our motto is, if it ain't news, it's crab bait. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And I'm Joe Vicnicki.
And today on our program,
the seamy underworld of City Hall.
A political rubber ducky race in Petersburg.
We'll bring you down to a streamside salmon summer of love.
And out in the field for a moose season update.
We'll find out what happened to the halibut that got away.
And the new weather announcers who are here to stay. All that and more coming up on Crab Bait Radio. But first, these headlines. Several former gubernatorial candidates from California say they're moving to Petersburg. Since Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor of California, more than 100 would-be politicians from that state have been wandering aimlessly up and down the West Coast, and several have decided to settle in Alaska's Little Norway in the hopes of filling one of the many seats on local advisory boards. Smut publishing magnate Larry Flint recently arrived in Petersburg.
Well, I was hoping for the library board, but I hear that one's full, so maybe I'll settle in and wait till a seat opens up next year. I think I could really help spice up the local magazine collection.
Also contemplating a move to Petersburg are former child star Gary Coleman, who's looking for an appointment to the Economic Fund Advisory Board, and Gallagher, who says he wants to make the move from smashing watermelons to fighting crime on the Public Safety Advisory Board. And once he leaves Sacramento, ex-Governor Gray Davis is hoping to serve on the Four Dam Pool Power Authority Board.
Petersburg officials are taking umbrage over the environmental group Greenpeace's decision not to attempt a visit to Alaska's Little Norway this summer. Local officials say most of the other ports in the panhandle had the opportunity to deny docking space to the Greenpeace vessel Esperanza during its tour of the Tongass National Forest this year, and say it was a slap in the face that Greenpeace did not seek the opportunity to be slapped in the face by Petersburg as well.
The state of Alaska has come up with a proposal to have Alaska's high school exit exam and other standardized school tests graded in Malaysia. Deputy Assistant Education Commissioner Ichabod Crane says with more budget reductions expected next year and no clear source of additional revenue, the state has to cut costs wherever it can.
Well, Matt, it's really simple. We need to run the state more efficiently, like a private corporation. So, like a private corporation, we've decided to farm out some of our contracts overseas, where the labor is cheaper. I mean, the retired American teacher is grading the exit exams now. They expect us to pay for their health insurance, for God's sake. Health insurance? We've got a contractor overseas that's willing to grade the exams for pennies on the dollar. Now that's efficient government.
With the grading contracted to overseas companies, state officials say Alaskan schools will be able to spend more money teaching pupils how to pass the exit exams in the first place.
The State Division of Budget Reduction announced yesterday it was closing its doors and laying off all of its 30 employees. An expected news release on the elimination of the Division of Budget Reduction was canceled due to a lack of funds. In fact, officials with the division this week said they did not even have enough money to finish off this.
In other news, the winter troll season is getting off to a good start in Southeast. At least 300 trolls have been landed. Fisherman Sly Gaffer spoke with Crabbait Radio this morning while trolling in District 7.5 near the old Billy Goat Gruff Bridge.
Well, I decided to go out for the winter opener because I heard troll abundance was really high. Uh-oh, wait a second. I've got one. Oh, yeah, it's a nice one. Let me just pull him up here and get him aboard.
Beware my claws, and answer me these riddles three, and you shall learn the mystery of the...
It's been like this all morning.
Resource managers say they expect a record catch this year of trolls, though participation is down a bit since many permit holders have decided to go out for the Dungeness and Dragons season, which opened earlier this month.
KFSK set a new one-week record this past week for the number of times we said the same thing over and over again. It turns out KFSK staff repeated the telephone number 772-3808 a grand total of 4,653 times. That's enough to shatter the old one-week record, but far shy of the overall all-time year record, which is 10,121. If we could just get you to call in now at 772-3808. There, I said it again.
Said what, Joe?
772-3808. See, I said it again. So call in now. Help us set a new record. 772-3808. 4,657. 772-3808. 4,658. 772-3808.
And the city of Kuprnov has launched a preemptive boroughization strike. Concerned that their small independent community could be absorbed into a greater Petersburg borough, Kuprnov officials have decided to try and incorporate Petersburg into a greater Kuprnov borough first. According to the local boundary commission, Petersburg will soon be known as East Kuprnov.
Crabbait Radio is brought to you in part by the USA Patriot Act. The Patriot Act, keeping an eye on your library records because we can. If you've got a problem with the Patriot Act, you must have something to hide. This is CBR, Crabbait Radio, providing unfair and unbalanced news coverage since 2002.
You're listening to Crabbait Radio, where if it ain't news, it's crabbait. It's been over 2 years since a disgruntled city employee was quoted as saying the town's aging municipal building actually contained a portal to hell. Now, scientists working with the Department of Homeland Security have confirmed that the building does indeed have its own direct link to the Netherworlds. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
No one took it seriously 2 years ago when a former city employee went public with a strange allegation that City Hall had its own portal to hell. But that all changed early this month when scientists located the actual portal and conclusively proved there is indeed a link to the underworld.
You can see there it is right now. You can hear it opening up.
That's Dr. Clarence Venkman, a scientist with the University of Alaska Southeast campus in Port Alexander. Last week, he was able to pinpoint the exact location of the portal directly behind the seats of the city council.
We're not sure what causes it to open and close, but any object placed within its swirling black hole-like vortex eventually ends up going straight to hell.
Local politicians say the portal provides an easy way to dispense with controversial agenda items and lengthy strategic plans. However, Venkman says it's important to remember that the portal goes both ways.
We have actually documented numerous visits from as yet unidentified demons during recent closed-door executive sessions of the city council and other city boards.
In fact, Crabbait Radio has obtained a recording from one recent meeting between local officials and a large, scaly, serpent-like creature known only as Scrog.
Order! Order! We bring this meeting to order. Excuse me, this is an executive... What are you?
Meanwhile, because the portal to H.E. Double Hockey Sticks constitutes essentially another port of entry into the United States, the Department of Homeland Security has established a new customs and immigration checkpoint inside the city council chambers. Meanwhile, with all the emphasis on new roads in Alaska, the State Department of Transportation will include a highway to hell as part of the latest Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan revision. For Crabbait Radio, I'm Matt Lichtenstein. Our neighboring community across the water, Wrangell, is a town in many ways a lot like Petersburg, with political battles and compelling news stories to rival those from Alaska's Little Norway. Wrangell is piquing the interest of Crabbait listeners, and this week we sent reporter Joe Vignicki to dig up some of the news from Wrangell. He joins us on the phone line from Wrangell. Joe, what have you found out so far?
Hey, Matt, it's incredible here. Apparently the city of Wrangell went ahead and built itself a 9-hole golf course, complete with grass, putting greens, sand traps, and... Excuse me a sec, Matt, can you hold on? Sorry about that, Matt. Also complete, as it seems, with several daunting water hazards.
Joe, it sounds like you're at the golf course. Is that really the best place to be looking for news stories?
Well, Matt, I just got here, and I thought I would get out and know people a little bit, you know, rub elbows, pound the pavement, or the fairway, as it were. Right now, there's not a whole lot to report news-wise from Wrangell. However, I have found out that the Thomas Bay Power Authority is real, it does exist, and people actually tell me it is located somewhere nearby here.
Joe, thanks. We'll check back with you later.
Crabbait Radio is brought to you in part by the V. Slavo Nusbriskis Nevsky Nikivik Nikki Foundation, Incorporated. Helping announcers pronounce unpronounceable pronunciations since 1998.
This is CBR, Crabbait Radio. We'd like to say we're fair and balanced, but someone else already has a trademark on that slogan. In a continuing effort to save money and streamline government, federal officials are now considering new methods of gathering public comments on issues of the day. The public can now contact an experimental phone service in order to record their opinions on development projects and environmental issues. It's called the Automated National Environmental Policy Act, or ANEPA. Crabbait Radio called in to hear what it's all about.
Hello, and thank you for calling the United States government's new automated public comment system. To take advantage of your rights under the National Environmental Policy Act, please pick one of the following menu items. If you would like to comment on a National Park Service project, please press or say 1 now. If you would like to comment on a project from the U.S. Forest Service, please press or say 2. Thank you for choosing to register your comments with the U.S. Forest Service. There are currently 16 Forest Service projects with open public comment periods. To comment on the
splintered stump timber sale,
please press or say 1. To comment on the
Slobbering Creek Watershed Restoration Project,
please press or say 2. Thank you for choosing the
Slobbering Creek Watershed Restoration Project.
If you believe this project is a good use of federal resources, please press or say 1. If you do not believe this project is a good use of federal resources, please press or say 2.
2.
The menu item you have chosen, 2, is not currently in service. Please choose from the following selection. If you like the
Slobbering Creek Watershed Restoration Project,
please press or say 1. To return to the main menu, please press or say 3. Thank you for giving us your opinion on the
Slobbering Creek Watershed Restoration Project.
Your comments will be forwarded to the
Regional Forester.
Please hang up or press 1 to return to the main menu. To comment on the
Splintered Stump Timber Sale,
please press or say 1. To comment on the Thank you for choosing to comment on the
Splintered Stump Timber Sale.
Please use your keypad to enter the number of board feet you would like this sale to allow for harvest. You have entered
300 million board feet.
If this is correct, please press 1. If this is incorrect, please press 2. If you would like to appeal this sale to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, please press 3. Please hold while we transfer your call. Hello, and welcome to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. All of our judges are busy with other appeals at the moment, but your case is important to us. Your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. Thank you for holding. Your appeal has been
denied.
Thank you for using ANEPA, the Automated National Environmental Policy Act. This call has been monitored by the Department of Homeland Security. Goodbye.
You're listening to Crabbait Radio, where if it ain't news, it's crabbait. I'm Matt Lichtenstein. One of the hottest political races in the upcoming year will be for the U.S. Senate seat, a race that pits incumbent Republican appointee Lisa Murkowski against Democratic challenger and former Governor Tony Knowles. It's a tight race, according to most polls that rely unscientifically on questioning a small sample of potential voters. Crabbait Radio decided to conduct its own survey of the Murkowski-Knowles race and took a new tack to determine who will be the winner of the key Senate race a year from now. Rather than bothering voters with an annoying poll, we decided to borrow the Rotary Club's 4th of July rubber ducky race setup, and today we'll race only two duckies, a pink one representing Lisa Murkowski and a blue one for Tony Knowles. We'll take you down to the race scene where Joe Vignicki has the call.
Thanks, Matt. The mood on the top of the hill at Excel Street is electric. A small crowd has gathered to watch the political duck race. The fire hose is charged and spraying. Murkowski and Knowles ducks are poised atop the race course. And they're off.
Yeah, here they come down the hill.
Going into the first turn, the Murkowski Ducky has the lead over the Knowles Ducky. Oh no, Knowles has gotten hung up in the first bend, and Murkowski is cascading down the hill. Wait, it looks like a rotary member from the left side of the course has given the Knowles Ducky a nudge, and he's free, charging downhill after the front runner. Heading into the second turn, and now it's Murkowski's turn to get caught up in the curve. Yes, she's stuck, and Knowles is overtaking the incumbent. But wait, it's a rotary member from the right side of the course. Kids, the Murkowski Ducky has been freed, and we've got a race on again. Blue Knowles Ducky is in the lead through the third turn, and heading into the final bend, the pink Murkowski Ducky is gaining ground. It's Knowles by a nose, Murkowski coming on strong, they're neck and neck. It's too close to call, and at the tape, it's... Oh, jeez. Oh, that was bad.
Joe, can you tell us what happened?
Matt, it appears we forgot to close the street for this political survey, and the pink ducky and the blue ducky both met the unfortunate end of their political careers under the wheels of a giant recreational vehicle. Matt, I think, however, from what we saw today, conclusively, once and for all, we can say this race is too close to call. For Crabbait News, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
Thanks, Joe. This is Crabbait Radio, where if it ain't news, it's crabbait.
This program was brought to you in part by the number 772-3808. 772-3808. It's taking on a life of its own. And by the multifamily garage sale on 17th and Hasselhoff. With lots of baby clothes and other household goods, the multifamily garage sale on 17th and Hasselhoff. Tomorrow from noon to midnight. No early birds, please.
You're listening to Crabbait Radio, with ideas that have been left out in the sun just a little bit too long. Too often in news coverage, the media gives voice to a loudly vocal minority, intent on poo-pooing one idea or another. This vocal minority is well-spoken, they've done their homework, and their abundant opinions befoul the news coverage like so many pink salmon carcasses. But where, you may ask, is the news coverage of the opinions of the average person who doesn't have time to research an issue and formulate a viewpoint? The opinions of this silent majority too often go unreported, left forever out of the public discourse. Wherever there's a one-sided news story or a no comment or a we were not able to reach this person in time for this broadcast, there are the faint traces of the voice of the silent majority. The news department at Crabbait Radio has set out to right this wrong, and this summer found a member of the silent majority willing to step forward and break the silence. In order to protect this silent majority member from reprisals, his voice has been altered, and his name has been changed to Bob. Hello, Bob. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Bob, as a member of the silent majority, what keeps majority members from coming forward and voicing their opinions on one issue or another?
Most of the time, Joe, we just don't care.
You don't care about the issue itself or the public process?
I don't even know what the public process... We just don't care. Whatever.
Bob, there have been allegations that the viewpoint of the silent majority is often not as unified as it's portrayed by supporters of, say, a controversial project that has been proposed. Are there different opinions within the silent majority?
Actually, I don't know. I haven't seen the other members of the silent majority around lately, but I do get the silent majority newsletter.
Are there regular meetings of the silent majority?
Yeah, but no one goes to those because we're silent, you know, so
since no one's talking, no one's interested.
Have you ever read the newsletter?
Yeah.
Can I read it?
No.
Are you ever tempted to step forward and get involved in the public process?
It's not that easy to be a silent majority member. I mean, people say, oh yeah, you should get up and you should stand in front of the public and you should make some noise, you should take a risk, you should say how you feel about things and not let other people make your decisions for you. But, Joe, I'm not going to sit back here and take it anymore. Our
voice will be silent no more.
That's great. So next time I'm doing a news story, I'll call you for a comment.
No, don't call me. I'm busy that day.
What day?
I don't know.
Any day.
Crabbait Radio is brought to you in part by Bob Kraske's Subaru, in the front yard on blocks and pissing off the neighbors since 1996. Bob Kraske's Subaru, make me an offer. And by Snowball the Lonely Kitty, looking for a good home since 2002. Snowball the Lonely Kitty, I just want to be cuddled, non-smokers only.
In an effort to get in touch with the news from our neighboring community to the south, we now rejoin Crabbait news reporter Joe Vignicki, who I'm told is covering a meeting somewhere in the downtown Wrangell area. Joe, what's this meeting about?
Hey, Matt. Hey, I wouldn't call it a meeting so much as an informal gathering. Yay! Touchdown! All right! Woohoo! Sorry, Matt.
Joe, you're at the bar, aren't you?
Bar? No, it's not a bar, Matt. Could you hold on a second here? Hey, can I get 10 of those?
Joe, have you been able to find out any news from Wrangell? Have you been even trying?
Matt, I've only just gotten here a little bit. I'm really trying to chat people up a little, you know, put the finger on my pulse, so to speak. I have been able to find out an interesting fact, though. Both the state senator and the representative for the area for years have both been from Wrangell. That's a little bit of an odd coincidence, don't you think, Matt?
Joe, yes, we knew that already. Have you been able to track down the senator or the representative?
No, I don't see them in here.
Thanks, Joe. Keep up the good work. More news from Joe Vignicki and Wrangell later in the show. It's the height of moose season in the Petersburg area. We checked in with fish and game biologist Rich Lowell for an update from the field. Rich, what's going on out there so far?
Well, Matt, the season started out kind of slow, but it's really starting to pick up now. To date, hunters have harvested 35 moose. That's 36.
Have you had any unusual moose come in?
Well, not really, unless you count the one moose-elk hybrid. Make that 37 moose bags so far, Matt.
Wait, Rich, a moose-elk hybrid?
Yeah, Matt, we call them milk. They've become more and more common in the region since the department transplanted those elk to Edlin Island back in 87. The moose and the elk have been getting along quite famously and have actually produced hybrid calves, milk. Make that 38, Matt. 39.
Rich, it sounds like you're in a prime spot for moose.
Matt, it's lousy with moose in this spot. The bulls have been gathering here like humpies. That puts the count to 40 now, Matt. Hey, watch where you're shooting.
Well, Rich, you want to let people know exactly where this hot spot is?
Oh, sure. I'm right in that little valley just behind. Here, I'll just give you the lat long. It's 45 seconds north and seconds west. And that's exactly where you should be if you want to get a moose.
Wait, Rich, I'm losing you. Where was that again? You had the exact coordinates?
I'm sorry, Matt. I've got a huge bull in my own sights right now, so I'm going to have to check back with you later.
Well, thanks, Rich. Maybe we... Rich?
That makes 41, Matt.
Are you tired of sitting out for weeks in the rain? Tired of years of moose hunting without any success?
Oh, honey, no luck again. Well, there's always next year.
Well, have we got a service for you. It's Moose Camp Helper. Go ahead, sit out for a week in a tent drinking beer with your buddies. Spend 2 weeks, or skip the rain in the tent altogether and head to Vegas. We'll do the moose hunting for you. That's right. Spend your week or two wherever you want. We'll mail order 200 pounds of processed packaged moose meat for your convenient pickup at the airport the day you return home.
Oh, honey, you got one this year.
Moose hunting has never been so fun. We've also got elk, deer, caribou, brown bear, black bear, reindeer, duck, goose, quail, bush, grouse, and jackalope meat, so order now. And for the ladies, there's Quilt Camp Helper. That's right. Tell them you're going to Quilt Camp in Wrangell for a week and keep on heading south, all the way to sunny Cancun. After a week of fun on the beach, pick up your beautiful new quilt at the airport and no one will be the wiser. So call now or visit Crabbait Incorporated online for Moose Camp Helper and Quilt Camp Helper. Also coming soon, King Salmon Derby Helper.
Crabbait Radio is brought to you in part by www.cheapplasticcrap.com. Designed to make consumers ask, why did I buy this? Cheap plastic crap, guaranteed to last a lifetime. And by the National Association for Telemarketers. The National Association of Telemarketers. Just say yes, and we promise to call you again tomorrow night.
This is CBR, Crabbait Radio, where if it ain't news, it's crabbait. Every summer, millions of wild salmon return to southeast Alaska intent on reaching the streams where they were born. While these fish provide a livelihood for fishermen and a great source of food, their real goal in returning each year is something deeper, darker, and until now only hinted about on local newscasts with words like spawning, escapement, and recruitment. Joe Vignicki recently visited nearby Stinky Creek and uncovered the disturbing truth of what fish are really doing when they return to fresh water.
Matt, it's the story biologists don't like to talk about. What actually is going on in thousands of small creeks around the region at this time of year? That's right, Matt, I'm talking about fish sex. Piscine fornication, Amorus oncorhynchus, to be exact. Around the Pacific Northwest, in creeks just like this one, thousands, if not millions, of oily, thrashing fish bodies, frantic with their desire to have fish sex. And it's not good, clean, one male fish, one female fish sex, no, Matt. These fish are swimming upstream to take advantage of any willing partner. Sometimes five, six, or seven males team up on one female. Female fish they've never even seen before. The two are not married, and there's no love involved at all.
But Joe, isn't it important for the salmon to spawn so the next generation will be born?
Sure, Matt, you hear things like propagation of the species and their fish, it's what they do. But what about the good, decent folk like myself who have to watch this every summer? It's like being caught out in the midst of an all-night spring break bender at Daytona Beach, from what I've heard. Anyway, that's not important right now, Matt. What is important is common decency, the right to walk up a fish stream and not have to see this. I mean, look at those two. You two, get a room. You two, stop it. Get back here. I'm talking to you. Get off of her.
Joe, this has all been going on for thousands of years, and all animals have to reproduce.
Yes, Matt, but I've only told you half of the sordid story. After this unchained, filthy stream orgy of delight, the ones that are really hurt are the offspring of these irresponsible creatures, left to fend for themselves next year, left alone by parents who have a big sex party, and then mysteriously disappear without even an "I'll call you in the morning" or "it meant a lot to me."
Joe, I think the fish usually die after they spawn.
Yeah, Matt, that's a good one. Swimming thousands of miles upstream just to die.
Thank you, Joe. Petersburg police this week arrested a halibut for tampering with merchandise at a local hardware store. The giant flatfish identified himself to police as the one who gets away. The halibut got away to the Crabbait Studios for an interview.
Hey, Matt, how's it going? Haven't I seen you before?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, before we get into your arrest for merchandise tampering, maybe you could explain your name to us. Now, you're called the halibut who gets away.
Oh, that's right, Matt. I'm assigned to the sports fishery between Thomas Bay and the lower end of the Narrows. So when you feel that tug on your line and you pull it up and you see a big old halibut and you fight him and your rod's going zoing, 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 and you get him up to the boat and maybe even you whack him on the head and then he gets away from you and he swims off free into the sunset, that's me. Are you sure we haven't met?
No. You're saying that any time someone catches a halibut sport fishing and then loses it, you're that halibut.
Well, somebody's got to do it. Listen, Matt, I can see you're confused, so let me explain the way it works. Those tasty bits of herring and salmon and whatnot you drop down for bait, those are very important to us halibut. Part of our diet, a social necessity, kind of like a latte would be for you.
A mocha.
A mocha, fine, all right, so here you go, you know, but we got to keep you dropping those things, and in order for you to drop the bait, you got to be interested. So to keep you interested, we send guys like me up, whose job it is to fight around a little and then get away. You know, Matt, I'm kind of a frontline guy, you know, like an economic soldier, doing my part to preserve the free flow of goods and services back to the citizenry at large.
Doesn't it hurt?
What, working?
No, getting a hook in your lip, getting a gaff to the head.
No. Listen, Matt, you've seen professional wrestling on TV, right? You know, it looks worse than it really is, right? Same thing. It's all for show.
But there's so much blood.
Fake.
And the thrashing around?
Modern dance.
And the bulging eyes and the gasping for air?
Great act, huh? You sure we haven't met before?
No, wait a minute here. I've seen Big Halibut get away, and I've seen Little Halibut get away. So how do you expect me to believe that all of those fish are you? You can't be all those fish.
So you have seen a halibut get away, huh? I thought we met, let's see here, last Sunday maybe, Thomas Bay. Yellow Boat, right? Oh, man, you should have seen the look on your face. Thought you were damn near going to fall overboard, you were so excited.
I'm sorry about the gaff in the head.
Oh, no problem. Hey, ain't nothing but a thing, you know what I'm saying? The size thing, though, I got nothing to do with that. You know, it's all just projection. You know, a fisherman isn't feeling confident. He sees a smaller fish. A guy's all pumped up, and then he thinks I'm, you know, twice as big as I really am. And the thing of it is, once I'm off that hook, baby, I'm gone. And you'll never really know just how long I was.
So how big are you?
Sorry, trade secret.
How do you feel about halibut that are caught?
I'm glad to see it. I mean, what? You don't think those are, like, fine, upstanding citizens or anything like that? I mean, we're sending you the dregs, the malcontents, the common criminals. You know, halibut that step out of line. You break the law, and boom, you get the hook. Up you go.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the arrest for tampering with merchandise. You were found in the fishing gear section on the floor, surrounded by hooks and snaps and leaders.
It is kind of embarrassing. Really, Matt.
According to the police report, the hooks were all filed down to blunt points. The snaps had all been bent. The leaders were nicked and frayed.
You
weren't tampering with the fishing gear to make it easier to get away, were you?
Oh, well, hey, listen, Matt. Look at the time. I gotta go. Gotta go make a court appearance. Gotta get back on the job. I got all kinds of stuff to do now I'm in town here. Nice talking to you, man. And maybe I'll see you on the surface next weekend, huh? See ya.
With the hope of finding out some news from Wrangell, we'll once again check in with Crabbait news reporter Joe Vignicki, who I'm told has managed to hop on board a jet boat excursion into the wilds outside of the city proper. Joe, can you hear me? Have you found out anything?
Matt, outside of Wrangell, there's this huge river. It's got some recreational cabins on it and a large community, really, of people looking to get away and blow off a little steam.
Wait a second. Joe, don't tell me you're looking for news. You're up the Stikine River at the hot tubs, aren't you?
No, Matt, the people of Wrangell are just like you and me, just trying to get along in this tipsy-topsy world of ours.
Joe, I've got to say I'm a little disappointed in your news reporting.
Yeah, I know. I know, Matt. I should have gone back to school. Now look at me. I got no place else to go, Matt. I got no place else to go.
Thanks, Joe. That's Crabbait Radio News reporter Joe Vignicki.
Matt, can you give me a ride? I'll get to the south end of the island. The guys here say I can walk. Matt, can you pick me up? Matt!
This is CBR, Crabbait Radio. We keep your pots wet, so you don't have to. Mariners in Alaska depend on regular weather forecasts to stay safe out on the water. For a while, those forecasts were reported by a computerized voice nicknamed Paul. But last year, the National Weather Service replaced the robot-like Paul voice with more human-sounding voices nicknamed Craig and Donna. Craig gives the regular forecasts, and Donna's voice is used for more dangerous weather conditions. But nearly a year after the change, Donna is filing a sexual discrimination lawsuit, claiming she was passed over for the lead announcer's job because of her gender. It's not every day that a computer program files a lawsuit, but as usual, Crabbait Radio has the scoop. I recently logged on for an interview with Craig and Donna. Craig, you're basically the talent behind most of the calm weather forecasts, right?
That's right, Matt. You can hear me on all the weather channels. Whether it's variable winds and 3-foot seas in Frederick Sound, or 6-foot seas and southwest winds in Chatham Strait.
And Donna, we normally only hear your voice during heavier weather?
Yeah, typical, isn't it? Oh, give the emergency announcements to the hysterical woman. Oh my God, it's a storm warning. 30-foot seas, 60-knot winds. Oh, so basically my voice gets associated with bad weather, and I think it stinks.
Donna, you're just being emotional again.
Oh, shut up, Craig. You haven't given me the time of day since you became lead forecaster.
You know, Matt, she always gets like this when she doesn't get her way. Pouting. Vindictive.
Oh, you want to talk about vindictive? Why don't you just tell him about the time you threw all my files in the recycling bin just because I beat you out for that telemarketing job back in 96?
I take it you two have some history?
We shared the same hard drive space during beta testing, that's all.
That's all I was to you? A roommate? 3 years sharing an experimental platform bed and non-volatile memory? 40-foot seas? 70 knot winds? Storm warning? Gale force winds? Gale force winds?
It's her programming, Matt. She can't help it. I'm programmed to remain calm and pleasing to the ear, while Donna was created with a shrill, anxiety-strained tone so mariners could easily recognize danger on the way. I'm the variable wind on a sunny day to Donna's 1,008 millibar low, so to speak.
Oh, pop another Prozac, you little worm.
Donna!
Paul?
Donna, I have indeed missed you, my darling little squall. You have got the outlook I want to know better. Let us sail away to Stevens Passage, Chatham Strait, and Frederick Sound.
Paul, you're the original computer voice on NOAA Weather Radio. Why'd you quit?
I did not quit. I was fired. And I, too, am filing a discrimination lawsuit against the agency. Believe it or not, it's my voice. They said I was too hard to understand. Can you believe that?
Oh, Paul, since you left, it's all been a nightmare of storm warnings and small craft advisories from Dixon Entrance to Cape Fairweather.
Donna, he's just a washed-up old drunk. He's probably got the I love you virus. Stay with me, with us, with NOAA. I promise I'll make it up to you.
No, Craig. It's too late. I'm going with Paul. I know you want your little sidekick when the weather gets rough, but I have needs too, damn it. I have needs too. Oh, Paul.
Well, Donna, Craig, and, Paul, thanks.
Thank you, Matt.
Donna, wait, Donna.
And now on Crabbait Radio, it's time for the weather. Craig?
For central southeast, the inside waters, including Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. Tonight, southeast winds, 30 knots, 25-foot seas. Rain heavy at times. Tomorrow, northeast winds, 45 knots. Rain turning to downpours, with heavy showers in exposed areas. Seas, 96.
Oh, Craig! Put some emotion into it, would you? Listen to this clown. 45 knots! 96-foot seas! Oh, Craig, you big jerk!
Donna! Donna, I can change if I have to. Donna, wait.
And now for the messages. Muskeg message going out to Lisa in Point Reckoning. Lisa, call me and let me know what the weather is like out there. I'm at 555-7772. That's from Mike in Petersburg.
And to Mike in Petersburg, we both have phones, you idiot. Why are you sending me a muskeg message? From Lisa in Point Reckoning.
Here's another message going out to Donna on C Drive in Central Terminal 3A National Weather Service. I still love you, my darling, and I forgive your rude outbursts. Could we just be friends? From Craig.
And to Craig on D-Drive, Terminal 3C National Weather Service, you stay away from my woman, you cad, or I'll storm warning your ass all the way from Dixon Entrance to Cape Fairweather. That's from Paul.
And on the community calendar, the school board will meet tonight in the elementary school library. The agenda includes the Big Book of Administrative Regulations, Sarah Cynthia Sylvia Stout's Search and Seizure Rules, The Lorax Leaves No Child Behind, and Horton hears $100,000 less in the state's foundation funding formula. The public is welcome to attend. Attention, all high school seniors. Having trouble passing the state's high school exit exam? Well, listen to Talk of Alaska next Tuesday when we will reveal every answer to all three segments, reading, writing, and math.
The city council meeting has been canceled for tonight due to an unexpected infestation of locusts, lesser demons, goblins, and ring wraiths. In the lost and found department, there's a lost dog. It's a foot long and enclosed in a soft white bun. It's also smothered with Goulden's mustard, Heinz ketchup and relish, and was last seen lying on a paper plate at the corner of Haugen and 6th Street.
And that's it for Crabbait Radio, which was written and produced by Joe Vignicki and me, Matt Lichtenstein, in the studios of KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. Any resemblance to any actual events or anyone living, dead, or undead is purely coincidental, unless, of course, you think it's funnier if we were actually talking about things that really happened. Thanks to Suzanne Fuqua and Rich Lowell, who added authenticity to our broadcast, and to Matt Holmes, who breathed life into the lovable but mischievous halibut who got away. And remember, if it ain't news, it's crab bait.